Today is Wednesday, 7th February, 2018. Our call number is 434-1790, WhatsApp 266-4862. I'm Lisa Gale, your moderator for today. Our producer, technical operator, is Mr. Graham Vaughn. I look forward to hearing your calls, your views, your queries, any concerns, as we look at today's various issues of the day. We will break at 11:55 a.m. for the regional roundup, and again at 12:30 p.m. for the lunchtime edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. We end today at 1 p.m. Yes, we end today at 1 p.m. Actually, we end at 2 today. Today is Wednesday, the 7th of February, so we end at 2 p.m. today. So I have a long time with you. Looking forward to hearing from you. This week, I have a surprise guest with me. I will tell you a little bit more about him shortly. And we hope to zoom in on a couple of issues, social, economical, political, you name it. We just want to discuss all of the several issues you may have to share with us. My name is Lisa Gale, and I look forward to hearing your calls. We'll be back. Down to Brass Tacks. Yes, I did share with you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I shared with you earlier that we have a surprise guest. I should give you his name. His name is Mr. Ronnie Yearwood. Ronnie is a longtime colleague. He is currently a practicing lawyer. He's practiced in London. He's practiced in British Virgin Islands and one other country. He's an international trade consultant. My best memory of him, he was a former youth parliament representative, a very ardent supporter of the then party that he supported. So Ronnie, welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Okay, thank you very much, Lisa. It's good to be here. As I always say, it's always good to be back home in the studio. So thank you very much, and look forward to having a good program.
Yes, we have a number of issues before us, but I will give the callers a chance to share what their issues are, and then we would see how best we can navigate today.
Perfect.
So we have a caller on the line. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Good morning, sir.
I'm a little bit alarmed at what I saw in the front page of the paper this morning. I described this action.
Which paper? There are two papers.
I am only talking about the Nation newspaper.
Okay, yes.
That speak to estimates.
Yes.
I described that as bait, unprecedented in this country we have ever heard, mm-hmm. about estimates being presented in the month of February.
Unprecedented
in history of this country.
Mm-hmm.
A rush type of thing, knowingly that we are facing a general election. Clear. People are not stupid. Mm-hmm. People at Barbados are not stupid. And they will say so shortly. And the reason for this is, in 2013 and 14, people with public responsibility mm-hmm. was able to tell this country that people have got to go home. People with public responsibility was able to say that his dictionary tell him temporary is temporary. These were the words 2013-14. Today, you're hearing that there are no layoffs. And the country is in a worse position than 2013-14. This is what we're up against. It is not fair to the people of this country to continue to be the full birds of the Caribbean. You have to come with more truth, more concreteness, and at least be honest with yourself and to people. You cannot fool all the people all the time. It is heartening to know that your position in 2014 is worse than it is in 2018. And you are telling the public Barbados that you are going to appoint, rehire, and do all types of things. But you did not tell them till after the general election. This is what you did not say. Now, you have to be very, very careful when you're having people with public responsibility misleading the masses of people of a country. It is a dangerous sign. All the experts have called and have asked that our dollar has to be devalued. You are looking at a situation in this country today where nobody is addressing that problem. You're talking about downgrades. Nobody is addressing that. and the country remains in stagnant waters. We are calling on all civil-minded persons and persons to abstain from this type of unnecessary and truthful dealings with people who have got public responsibility. You cannot fool all the people all the time. At least you have to come honest at this juncture. Our country has collapsed. The financial aspect of this country is in big, big, big trouble. And everybody have said so, and everybody knows that. How can you come today and tell me today that you are going to give back Clico for your $71 million? Where are you going to get it from?
17. I see 17.1 million, yes. But question for you,
Yeah.
Is the timing that is your major issue, or it is
my major issue? How can you got all of these giveaways in an estimate and your country is in trouble? Where are the sacrifices? Where they live? That is my concern.
Okay.
The question of the sacrifices.
So you would say your assessment is a lack of sacrifices, and more so this is a budget, not really a budget, this is estimates. This is determining what the spend will be for the financial year.
Yes, but as I describe it, as bait. And when that hook goes into your throat, God help you for the next 5 years again. Because you know you would agree with me. Would you want to agree with me? This country is worse off than 2014?
I'm moderating, so I'm merely listening to your perspective and then trying to bring some context so that the listeners
hear
and understand.
Yes, but I'm asking a question.
No, I can't answer your question.
You can't answer my question?
No, I can't.
And obviously there are constraints and there are reasons why you cannot ask my question, because it does not speak to what you want to hear either.
Well, that's your assessment. You don't have any challenge with that. But what I want to ask you, though.
But I'm saying to you.
What I want to ask you.
I am saying to you clearly that the country is worse off in 2018 than it was in 2014. And you were able to say and clearly identify, carry all the workers that were sent home up at Sherman, give them a cheese cutter and some lemonade, and tell them, sign the forms and go along home. This is what you're up against at Sherman. Those are people with public responsibility. When the workers went up there and gathered at that institution, hoping to be relieved of what they were hearing, they were told that temporary, the dictionary says, temporary is temporary. They were given lemonade and a cheese cutter up there, and then home you go. Today you are talking a different story, and the country has revealed itself down to 2018 with pain and anguish. Everybody in this country is looking forward to some solution and to avoid that monster we call devaluation. Now you're having all the economic experts in on this notion. But you're hearing nothing, and I say absolutely nothing, about a government who you have posted to govern. But yet you would be able to come to there and say you're giving back Clico workers $17 million.
All right, sir.
Thanks
for your... I'm not going to cut you. I'm just
telling
you. I'm telling you thanks for your assessment. I'm going to let Ronnie comment here. But there are a couple of things you said. All of the experts said that the dollar should be devalued. That's not accurate.
That's not why you said that's not accurate.
No.
Why would you say that?
All of the experts said that the dollar should be devalued. That some people recommended it. There are other persons who said there are other mechanisms that we can use to shore up the economy. I'm just saying to you that all of the experts did not say that we should devalue the dollar.
I'll
give you a chance. I heard you. I listened to you. I'm going to give Ronnie a chance to make a comment. But thanks so much for your contribution today.
Okay. First thing, I like to step back from the issues first, because you know it's easy to get hot up on an issue and throw accusations and broad generalizations out. And I have to agree with you, Lisa, the evaluation that all experts said that devaluation is the answer. That is incorrect, and that's a false statement. And we probably need to start doing more of this. That is a false statement, sir. That's simply not true. And if it's not true, that means it's false. Yes. You know, there's no gray area between that. Now, there are other methods and other means of which rebalancing the books that people have talked about, whether that's retrenchment. The Prime Minister addressed that last weekend when he talked about retrenchment and that not being his choice or his option. Mm-hmm. There are other experts who have recommended combination of retrenchment. Some experts have recommended improved service in order to balance. You know, there are a number of measures, but to say that all experts have recommended devaluation is misleading. So let's put that aside. Now, in terms of the analysis that the estimates has presented are bait, well, no, again, that is also misleading. You, depending on which side you're on, you may say it is bait, you may not say it is bait. It is the government's role and it's the government's function to present estimates to the country so that the country can continue to run. Whether there's a general election coming or not, and we know that the general election must come at a particular juncture, the government must continue to function. Now, if you do not agree with the content of the estimates, that's a whole nother story. The timing of the estimates, we can debate from here to whenever, but the real central debate should be about the content of the estimates and where and how are we going to pay for the funds. Exactly. How are we going to fund the particular heads of items in the estimates? Yes. And that's where the debate should be going, you know, and that's what we need to engage in on a level.
Okay, so I think we could stop there. Yes, I like what you said in terms of timing vis-a-vis the content. And we all know, yes, the general election has very little time before us. We know that constitutionally the March deadline will come and then Parliament has to be dissolved, etc. So we are aware of the timing. And it is, I think it is a person's opinion to determine whether or not this is a rush budget vis-a-vis. Because if you know that you want to run the country post the election, you hope and believe that you will continue to put things in place. And I believe that the Prime Minister, from a strategic perspective, is putting things in place. Yeah. That's why he spoke about the public servants receiving some kind of, I don't know if it is a relief, that was the word from the unions, but I smiled when the gentleman made his comments there. And rightly so, there is reason to be aghast. Mm-hmm. Given, I mean, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be. I'm just telling him my opinion doesn't matter here in this particular instance. But there's reason to be shocked at the timing for which the public servants are going to get some kind of reprieve. People are asking whether or not this is a pill, not a poison pill, but people are asking whether this is a pill to bait them, etc. So people have their views, and I like to hear a person's views. So we have another person on the line to share his or her views. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Good morning, sir.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Let me just turn on this radio. No, I wanted to get in yesterday because I wanted to ask a question regarding the difference between permanent and temporary as it relates to officers in the general public service and statutory corporations.
Okay.
And there's a reason why I'm asking that. Yeah, because with the restructuring of the Barbados Tourism Authority, permanent employees were made redundant due to the restructuring. Yes? And I just wondered if it was the difference between the statutory temporary and permanent. And I wanted to ask the union that question yesterday because it seems as though, from what I know, is a case where, in every instance, these things were handled very differently. And for sure, permanent persons were made redundant on the restructuring of the Barbados Tourism Authority.
Right. So I don't have the act before me to give you the specific definition. Mm-hmm. But from memory, the permanent employee fills a post. So there's a permanent post for which a person can temporarily be acting in vis-a-vis the temporary officer, because that refers to the personnel, the temporary officer, who, until they are appointed in the public service, then they by the, I think, depending on the post, the Governor General would be the one to give you the particular appointment until you're appointed by the government service. Then you become permanent. But there, I prefer that someone who has the specific definition can call and share that for you. If we do I'll read it out for you.
Right, that will be appreciated because I am not certain as to what it is.
What you asked just now, though, a permanent person can be made redundant, though.
Right, permanent. Not disputing that because there's the app which specifies that you can be made redundant for reasons, and restructuring being one of the reasons. Yes.
Okay.
So when I hear this talk about the Prime Minister saying that nobody ain't going home, which was said in the meetings, on all the meetings that I know of, he said that nobody was going home and they had enough positions which would have been as a result of the restructuring of the two companies for people to fit into. And then they did take the position that they would make people redundant once who, and according to them, were not going forward with the organization.
Right, that had more to do with the strategy. So if you're saying... We're going to move towards product, and we're going to move a little bit more towards, let's say, quality management. Yeah. And persons do not fit those categories in terms of competence or qualifications. Then you would then have to make those persons redundant, and then employ persons who have that competence.
And there's no problem with that. But all of this is governed by the Statutory Boards Pension Act, as it goes. Right now, let's say for sure. Some persons who had reached close to the age of 60, which they considered to be the retirement age, I'll give an example. If you were 58 years old, you were paid 2 years payment to bring you to 60, and then your pension would kick in, which you had no problems because you received payment for 2 years. Then when they came to the second tier of persons who were further away from what they considered the retirement age being 60, there was a different type of formula which came about after they said that the government had no money to pay any whatever might be considered to be enhanced packages. All of this happened in the space of, like, let me say 3 months, in more than 3 months in the first batch and the second batch of persons. But the second set of persons, it seems as though they don't even... It is very much uncertain as to how they are considered as being retired or whatever, but for sure they were made redundant. And the Statutory Boards Pension Act speaks to these things. Obviously, some of these things can become legal and what's not, but I do not understand how it could be that you could be in a group of persons and you taking positions to deal with it and come to... having four or five or different methods to deal with this issue of redundancies due to restructuring, and leaving many persons at a disadvantage. And I am certain that most of the people are very much unsure as to how it would have happened. And obviously it got implications, which you will see as you go down the line.
So those really persons would have received... Those persons would have received monies?
Well, I would say yes to that, but as I said to you, I am saying to you that it would be a guiding thing where you know that you are guided by acts which have not changed.
Okay.
Right. So I'm not contending that you can't make anybody redundant, but the clarity in it as to how it is
the rationale. What was the rationale?
And the two cannot be separated. If you are guided by an act and you are guided by the fact that temporary is temporary according to the dictionary, permanent is permanent according to the thing, and they both carry some aspects of status, then it has to be dealt with. And if you have an act that you need to be that governs this, it should be looked at in total.
Okay.
Question that I have. What will be the rationale to pay people up to the age of retirement that they will receive their pensions, so that obviously they wouldn't suffer, right? Because they're not entitled to severance, or they're not entitled to unemployment. But when you come to other persons, and as I said, the knowledge that I have of it is that it was dealt with in four or five different ways. I don't know if it's a bias depending upon the status of the employee.
It could
or
be.
Not.
It could be the levels. Yeah, some persons. Right.
But all of it has to be guided by what is considered to be the laws.
The rules and regulations governing the employee of those individuals.
At
yes.
that point in time.
Yes.
So for somebody to actually come to you, to say to you that this is what has been negotiated on your behalf, or this is what you will sign off on the basis of not looking at those things, has implications for the persons who, based on what status they might be, and the treatment that has been meted out to them in the initial stages will suffer.
Okay.
So I just wanted to have a clarity with the difference between what is the permanent employees and temporary employees, because it is very uncertain to me.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I would still look, though, to get the definition. I think it has not to be dug from the Oxford Dictionary, because in this instance, this is to do with employment relations, and it will be governed by the act that speaks to that statutory corporation. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I have my guest Ronnie here. We are talking about Barbados being more than a society, more than an economy, a society, and we're trying to unravel that thought, because just a couple of weeks ago I heard it again. I've heard it several times, and I wanted to have a discussion on it. And in my reading not just looking for the definition of what is a society, mm-hmm. or the definition of what is an economy, but when we look at the challenges that we're having in the economy, the reason why leaders focus on the economy, because the economic viability of persons within the country would help to strengthen the reactions which thereby cause the society to move and grow and develop, etc. And for Barbados, because we're having such challenges with our economy, then the problems that persons are talking about, like one of our first caller, in fact, when we talked, we have scenarios with high inflation,
yep.
poor unemployment,
mm-hmm.
you know, or rising unemployment, a youth unemployment, which is something we also have to zoom in on a bit today as we look at the youth issues,
mm-hmm.
that then leads to poor social issues, because we know that crime is related to high unemployment, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So let me hear your thoughts, Ronnie, on...
Well, firstly, I know that the idea that somehow Barbados was more than an economy, it's a society, was a campaign slogan.
Nice phrase.
It was part of the last campaign propaganda, and you know, I think there's somewhat.
No, I don't like that word propaganda. No, you need
campaign material.
Right.
and there is a disconnect between, you know. There is some disconnect between the idea. The reality is, I'm not sure you can separate the fact that Barbados is a society and an economy, because, as you rightly said, the economy needs to be functioning well in order to pay for the things that drive a society, whether that's education, mm-hmm. whether that's investment
healthcare.
In healthcare, mm-hmm. investment in infrastructure, whether it's investment in social care. Because obviously that's always a big issue, the fact that we have a large aging population. So those mm-hmm. are also issues. So when we speak of healthcare in Barbados now, we also speak of social care.
Yes.
And so I think to try to make that division between Barbados being a society and an economy is somewhat artificial.
Semantics then.
Yeah, it's semantics. I'm not sure it's helpful to the debates that we need to have about what the new Barbados will look like. How are we going to pay for the things that we want to pay for? How will we continue to fund education?
Social programs that we have,
exactly.
that we are hearing now, are a drag on the same economy, and thereby impacting negatively on the society.
So yeah, so how do we get more out of those social programs for probably less money? So
yeah.
So those are things that we have to look at. Or how can we create new programs that cost very little?
Yeah, much less.
You know, so there are lots of debates to have. So I think that debate that we have about Barbados being an economy.
I'm hearing someone replay in my mind. I haven't seen any comments yet. But I'm hearing someone say they said more than an economy.
More than an economy.
They didn't say just an economy.
More than an economy.
Yes.
It's a play on semantics. It's an
yeah.
artificial debate.
Okay.
And it's one that we should put aside to have a real debate about what politics in Barbados will look like,
mm.
what kind of country we want to
and
build.
What society are we developing?
You know, how do we create what I call the good society? How do we build this? How
yes.
do we separate the untruths in politics from the truths in politics, and how
do we carve those cultural norms exactly. that we want to see our children you know, gravitating to? What are the things we're inculcated in the youth at this point, etc. Okay. Yeah. So that's a good, I think that's a good let's go to the phone lines.
Yeah.
This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Hello, very pleasant morning to you, darling.
Good morning, madam. I have someone in the studio as well.
Well, I realized that Lisa got a pleasant good morning, darling. I got nothing.
I'm sure she didn't mean anything.
I know. I'm not just teasing. I'm teasing. Good morning to you too.
Well, you know, I'm calling on, it's nothing to do with politics or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm calling to speak to the people. I'm an adopted Bajan. I came here in the early 70s. Okay. And I remember very clearly I was dancing at the Pepper Pot under the stars to the Merry Men, to that song, Beautiful Barbados, with my husband-to-be then. And I fell in love with Barbados by that song. And I got married and have been living here all these years. I have Barbadian children. I was adopted by Barbadian people that showed me lots of love. There's a Barbadian family here that I call their parents Mommy and Daddy, the Hunts family. Beautiful human beings. The girls are my sisters, the boys are my brothers. They adopt me, and I adopt them. And we're still close as 40-plus years ago. We are a family. And I've had so many opportunities of living abroad. I have 3 kids in the United States that are doing extremely well. Mommy, come live with us, and I would not give up Barbados. I go up and down. I've had so many times I says, okay, I'm going to stay. And I always end up returning to Barbados because this is beautiful Barbados. I go to karaoke and I'm always singing that song to the tourists, Beautiful Barbados. Come back to my land. I see this land as my land because this land has given me and my children many opportunities to live happy lives. And I'm thankful and grateful for the people that took me in and showed me love and kindness. And I do the same to them.
Lovely.
You understand? I mean, I don't see the difference between me being born somewhere else and the Barbadian. As far as I'm concerned, we're all one people. We're Caribbean people. And I believe, and if I receive love, I must give love. And I want to speak to the politicians today as a woman of God. Because I've been listening to so many different issues and things. And I've been listening to debates of both the opposition and the present administration. And I want to tell them that there is a God. And, you know, we don't have to be, even though we are on the eve of a general election, we don't have to be attacking each other and screaming at each other. And I want to tell the elderly people that call into this program, they don't have to raise their pressures by getting upset or whatever they think is happening. There is a God that's watching us, that's paying attention to everything, and they need to see what happened to Haiti, what just happened to Dominica. You understand? We have enjoyed the blessings of God because so many things we have been spared from. Okay. So many things have bypassed Barbados, and they went and they damaged other places, and we have always been spared the wrath of natural disasters.
The only thing I'd respond. I think I appreciate your comments there for sure. Your times in Barbados, the experience you've had, and as well your commentary as it relates to the politicians during this season. But I think there is value, for lack of a better word, in animation, and there's value in opponents saying things. I don't agree for sure with the mudslinging, but as an opponent, you need to let other people know what one opponent doesn't have vis-a-vis what you have. And I think that's a part of competition. But I hear you for sure. We need to stop the mudslinging, and that's something that we hope that all the politicians listen to. Because in this season, our children are watching. I was particularly, I used that word before, so I wouldn't use the same word, but I was a little shocked yesterday listening to the goings-ons in Parliament. And I was driving home, taking a nice leisurely drive up the hill. My son was in the car, and I was not impressed with what I heard. I really wasn't. And that is tame in comparison to what we're going to get on the political platforms, some of which has started already. And I hope that persons listen to you. So thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning to you, Ms. Gill.
Morning, sir.
Morning. I see you have a guest.
Mr. Yearwood, yes.
Good morning.
Okay. All right. How funny is that they're on air? I coming on and you all talking about one of my favorite things, not the economy though, but the idea that it's not just an economy, it is a society. I think that would be, I think they were saying the other thing too, but I think that's what David Thompson was pushing, is Barbados is not just an economy, it is a society. Right, and you mentioned that it is what is artificial, that you think it is an artificial thing and not really something that you should be saying?
No, well, that's not what he said.
Well, I said that I think the divide is somewhat artificial because the reality is that the prosperousness of a society, if you want to put it that way, depends on how well the economy is. You know, the social services program, education, the infrastructure, it's not free. It has to be paid for in some particular way. So you need a dynamic, prosperous economy in order to fund the free, quote-unquote, free education. You need an economy in order to fund the polyclinic. You need the economy in order to fund the hospital, the police service, the nurses, the teachers, the doctors, the social care workers. All of these things need to be paid for. And how do you pay for them? You have to have part of a dynamic economy, whether that's tourism, whether that's renewable energy, creative industries, whatever combination or form you decide is best for Barbados in order to pay for these things. Because at the end of the day, they have to be paid for.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking money then?
Well, at the end of the day, there has to be some talk of the bottom dollar because, does the teacher go to work for free? They have to feed their family. Do you go to work for free?
And in the economy is the wealth and the resources of the country.
Of the country.
So that is not to be left by itself. As we said, there's no divide really between our...
When you need to look at them, you have to look at them you have to look at this holistically. Yeah, you know, there's no issues with trying to dissect things and look at the issues that affect a society. For example, family breakdown, issues with teenage violence, issues with unemployment.
Yes.
Fine. But then when you dissect those, you look at those problems, then you have to bring them back within the broader picture of like, okay, so we know youth employment is this, so we need to establish a scheme to incentivize and to get young people back into work. Mm-hmm. That's going to cost money. So that has to come under an estimate. That has to come under a department. That has to have personnel to manage it. So the two can't necessarily be stripped apart and an artificial divide made between them. They, you know, at some point, they have to sit neatly together. And when you even think that, you think society, economy, and the politics. And when I say politics, I don't necessarily mean politicians on a platform or in parliament. I mean governing and policy. Mm-hmm. So you know there are three things here. There's policy, there's the society, and there's the economy. And then probably within that realm, you throw law and order.
Several things.
Yeah. So and all those things have to be held together and balanced in order to create the overall country that we want to live in.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, Lisa. Last week I asked you if you agreed with me, and that was that is not what I meant to say. I mean,
I mean, if you understand, because the program is not about if you agree or disagree, is about you're making a point and whether the listeners understand what you're saying or not.
Okay. So there is a difference between agreeing and understanding, for sure.
I know, but still, I said the wrong thing then, that's all.
That happens all to right. us, okay.
Right, I just like to know that people understand what you're saying, right? But okay. I can give my opinion. Mm-hmm. First of all, and I really believe in real things, right? And we actually live life based on a lot of theories. Right? Mm-hmm. So the reason why I actually more prefer and like the idea of the society is because, and that's why I just want to pick you up on the word artificial. Mm-hmm. The economy that we actually talks about is actually artificial. Right? And do you all know that money is being printed now out of mid-air, so to speak? It actually ain't attached to nothing, really. It being printed out of mid-air. So what I'm saying is that a society is more real because it is about people. But what you need to do is get people to actually wise up and change the way of thinking and start actually pushing materialism into them. Because the reason why that the foreign reserve is going down is because we spending money buying things that we don't make here. And I'm going to pay for them with foreign exchange. So if you could get people's attitude actually change, you know, because Cuba spent was living for a very long time before actually with that thing, what is called it now?
Sir, can I jump in? I like where you're going with this. Okay. Let me put one thing there. No, you said you like the idea of a society. So yeah. in effect, because it's more real. But yeah. But liking the idea of a society is just as much as saying the idea of an economy. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it's not any more real or less than an economy. Mm-hmm. You know, you're still pitching it as an idea. This mm-hmm. idea that there are these social bonds of people which are more important than what you consider the material base of a country. Now. You made that point that, you know, money is not real, but money has always been a social construct. The value of money has value because we believe it to have value.
We give it, and
as Lisa said, funny enough, the word currency, we give it currency. Yes. We make it real. You know, if we were a country and you had some shells, we could decide that the value of a shell is worth, I don't know, 10 of whatever we want it to buy, and that's the value of money. You know, that's why things like Bitcoin have value, because if we give it value. You know, relationships within themselves are social constructs. All of these things we've created because we believe that they work. The family as a unit is a social construct, and there are different types of families, you know. There are different types of units within that. So again, you know, I don't think that you can necessarily pull them apart. I can see what you're trying to say, and there is value that there is there's a materialism that exists, but that's different to the economy.
Yes.
And I think you need to make that distinction. What you're talking about is materialism versus probably what you consider more traditional family values.
So production and consumption of goods and services and those things that make up the economy
mm-hmm.
are important.
Yeah.
And they're inescapable.
Yeah.
Just like family and family life, those things are also important. What I think I'm hearing you say, sir, mm-hmm. is that you have far greater liking for matters relating to the society than matters relating to material and financial issues.
Yeah, and morality, because people actually, they got some people out there that don't even understand words, the jargons that they're being used. And all, to me, people hear when people talk about economy is money.
Right, and that's so, not all. How does a country produce its goods? How does a country use its goods and services in terms, whether it's producing, whether mm-hmm. it is acquiring mm-hmm. by purchasing, just like how we have to purchase goods from over and away, and mm-hmm. I use the foreign exchange mm-hmm. that you say it is dwindling because we are buying those things, and it's not the only reason why the foreign exchange is dwindling. We have bills to pay in U.S. currency, and therefore we have to use that to pay off our debt.
Right. Bottom line, it is money. And what I mean is like on the international and front, it seems like a game, because actually there's things that big countries, and to me, it don't need to be, that's why you say artificial, because humanity needs love. Why is a country that suffering or poor can't get help by a big country that rich? I mean, it's like a game that being played, actually a monopoly game, and playing by to keep certain people down. So I don't want to go on to this next point. When I had the conversation Monday, I want to get through the ants, the water experts, if we have fluoride in our water, because they put fluoride inside water.
What's fluoride?
Pardon?
What's fluoride? Oh, you mean fluoride?
Fluoride, F-A-C-I yeah. name.
Oh. I wasn't sure what you meant, so sorry.
Right. The mm-hmm. same thing that is going to...
Toothpaste, yes. Fluoride, yes.
Right, because they put it in the water with a lie that it is actually keep... What you need...
Or you mean chlorine? Which one?
Not chlorine, fluoride.
Okay.
Right. The same thing that is being toothpaste.
Yes, fluoride is in toothpaste, for sure.
They put it in water, and it with a lie to say that it is actually to get people's teeth strong.
Who's this? Who the put it in water?
The expert.
Okay.
The expert. Okay. They put it in the states to have it inside the water. The people is advocate against it too, because you should be putting like a medication in water, like why you want to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. But so you wanted to ask them what specifically?
I would like to ask them that question, if we have fluoride in our water.
Okay. But that can still be asked. I'm sure we have Ms. Haig and those persons who may very well be listening to the program, who can probably just send a little WhatsApp or make a call to indicate, just to answer that question.
And the next thing is, not only the...
You just said that
problem.
Was your final thing.
No. I'm done with the water yet. The next thing is done on this one. The next thing is the sewage problem. The sewage problem might be just temporary, but we got to look at the amount of chemicals being used and spraying and so on. Because I understand that the problem with wheat, right, isn't really that, you know, there's a wheat, the problem with wheat, what is the gluten? I think the problem with wheat, I understand from a program, that the spray of wheat is wronged up. And that is what caused this allergic reaction to some people with the gluten and thing. But
where are you speaking of? Which country are you speaking of?
This country? Mm-hmm. I can't name the specific country, but I know that wronged up is banned in certain countries, right? Mm-hmm. Because of a problem that it poses to health. Mm-hmm. But we still got it legal here, right? Hello, you still there?
It's really a weed. It's a weed killer.
Right, it's a weed killer. Mm-hmm. And they spray the wheat with it and to give a high yield.
Whoa.
And that is what this caused the problem with wheat.
That increases the gluten then?
Huh?
You're saying that increases gluten?
It does something. It is what caused the allergic effect, the allergy, and so on. The problem is not really wheat, is the spraying of the wronged up to give this high yield.
Okay.
Right? As I understand from that documentary. And the problem, and why saying this, is that we actually import a lot of banned substances and still use them here in Barbados. I understand that the thing that we use to kill the snail is actually a dangerous thing too. So I just looking at the water where you're using these things and they go down to get into our water resource, right? That's that's all I'm talking about.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks.